Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cos podcast. Since last we chatted, Darren Radish is a Maple Leaf on an 8-year deal. Brady Tkachuk traded from Ottawa to Florida because hockey players are cowards. The Giannis Antetokounmpo is now a member of the Miami Heat, and poor Julius Randle is a Brooklyn Net. Shane Bieber starts tonight. Canada versus Switzerland tomorrow. I think I got most of it, Bob. How you doing?
I just want to say, firstly, Julius Randle is like the Pete Best of sports.
Oh.
He was the guy that Ringo replaced in the Beatles.
Yeah.
Before they got really big. Wherever Julius Randle goes, they deal him, and then something special happens there. So you know Minnesota's going to win next year. Imagine getting traded. God, the poor guy, you get traded to Brooklyn the summer that the Knicks win.
It goes worse. He was with the Lakers. They traded him for potential cap space to make a run at Kawhi. The Lakers don't get Kawhi, but they win the title 2 years afterwards. Randle traded from the Knicks. They win the title 2 years afterwards. Minnesota has been to the Western Conference Finals a bunch, and he gets traded to the Nets, who, as I joked, may or may not be a professional NBA team, but no one knows.
I just feel, yeah, Pete Best, there you go. Okay, I got a question for you, and it's going to sum up this time of year. I'm going somewhere with this, so go with me, okay? You do a lot of sports betting or talk about sports betting on your show, right?
Correct.
How easy would sports betting be if there was no point spread, if you could just pick winners versus losers?
Oh, my God, it would be so much easier, absolutely.
And that's because during the year, during any sports season, there's not that many surprises. There are some, but mostly you know what's going to happen. So they created a point spread so that surprises were more likely. It'd be harder to predict what was happening. But they had to artificially create shock and surprise into the sports season because most of it is pretty predictable. This time of year is different. This time of year is surprise central. You've got the draft. You've got free agency. You've got all kinds of trades going on. This is silly season, and it is my favorite time of the sports year because this is the time when you wake up and go, holy shit, I didn't see that coming.
And now I'm trying to figure out how can Jaylen Brown be a Toronto Raptor? Can Jakob Poeltl be part of the deal going back to the Celtics? It's, it is crazy, just all of it. And there's too much content. I have a two-hour show, and Cristiano Ronaldo scores two goals, and you got all the soccer stuff going. There's too many goals in soccer. Hot take. I've said it. More nil-nil draws. There's too much now. Everyone needs to calm down.
Oh, we're not even going to get to Canada and Switzerland. Canada's going to go through to the round of 32. We never even got a point before. We're going to make it to the round of 32 probably tomorrow, in all likelihood. We won't even get to that. Where do you want to start since there's so much going on? You didn't even mention Mike Babcock now is officially going to be part of the Oilers. And he came out and said, I don't think I did anything wrong. And if you're not 100% in on Mike Babcock, I'm not interested.
It's great. It's somehow his wife was the reason he resigned from Columbus. Oh, God, it's so good. I love a good redemption story. Even a guy who has been as mean and as much of a bully as Babcock is, I was at the very least fascinated by the idea, was there the possibility of reinvention in that craggly stump of a man? And clearly he's answered it for me. No, there isn't. He's made John Tortorella the warm, cuddly coach.
Oh, he's made John Tortorella George Foreman, where he was once the villain, then all of a sudden is the lovable elder statesman. Oh, I honestly, okay, let's start with Giannis, just because tonight's the NBA draft, and yeah. I don't know if anything bigger is going to happen than the fact that after, what is it, like 18 months now of speculation, Giannis is now finally part of another team, not the Bucks. He goes to the Miami Heat. The centerpieces of the deal are basically picks, Tyler Hero, Khalil Ware, and a couple other guys. What do you think of the deal?
I have a really boring hot take. It makes sense for both sides. You can quibble that Milwaukee should have done this a year ago, but Giannis did average like 28 and 10. It was great defensively, and maybe they were desperate to find a way to make it work. But Milwaukee gets the true reset because they get three first round picks and a pick swap. Two of those first round picks from Miami will be when Giannis is 36 years or older. So they're doing a proper reset. Khalil Ware is, I think, a good young big. They can probably trade Tyler Hero and get more if they want to trade him. It stinks that Milwaukee has to say goodbye to Giannis, but at least Giannis got them that championship after 50 years of a title drought. As for Miami, Pat Riley needed to land one more whale, and he did. And it might not work, but the team was a play-in team. Even when they went to the finals, they were never a dominant team in the regular season. They needed to take the swing. I've yammered long enough, but I totally get it from both sides. And anyone who does one of those trade grades, C minus. See you later, because you don't know what you're talking about.
That's interesting, and it's good for both sides. I think you said something important, which was Miami did win. I should say Milwaukee did win a championship with Giannis. So if you're a Bucks fan, you're not allowed to complain because you found a guy in the middle of the first round who wound up being a top 50 of all time player, and you won a championship. So no matter how it ends, you can't say, woe is us, because that's a much better fate than 29 other teams can expect over the next decade. Miami, it's interesting because now this is a swing on Heat culture. How much can you bring in guys to support? You think back to the super team that they built with LeBron, right? That was a wager that we can get guys to want to play here for cheap because they're going to want to win and they're going to want to play in Miami. And it worked beautifully. They were able to surround them with some talent, even though they had spent so much cash and equity on the main three guys. I'm not sure they can do the same with Bam and Giannis. We've seen enough super teams over the last 20 years that this one doesn't seem especially thrilling. They might be good. You know what I feel like happened, Matt? I feel like they went from a perennial play-in team to a team that's probably going to be a fifth or sixth seed.
Yeah, they because of the injuries and because they're going to need a lot of other pieces, it does feel like that today. If I'm going to be the optimist, if you are a shooter, going to Miami would be great because Bam doesn't need to take 20 plus shots. Giannis will need a lot, but there'll be open opportunities. Maybe for Norm Powell, he re-signs for less money because he knows he gets the shot diet with Tyler Hero now being gone. The only way this works is if Giannis plays 70 games. If Giannis can play 70 games, they can get home court in the first round of the playoffs. I can't say anything higher than that, but they could do that.
Which is still an improvement. They made their
Yeah.
team better. They felt like a 9 or 10 seed team every year, and Heat culture was starting to feel like a figment of the past, and they have a chance to revive it. Okay, here's what I want to do. I want to pivot and I want to talk about the NHL, and clearly the Brady Tkachuk stuff is the biggest. Now, I've got to take some pasta off of the stove right now. So I said to you before we started, don't mention anything about Jeff Pollock. And that was so I could run to the kitchen, take the pasta off the stove while you're selling Jeff, and then come back and we can talk Brady Tkachuk. Okay?
Let me tell you, everyone, right now, if you need a lawyer, and at some point you are going to need a lawyer, why not use the one that we've had for years? His name is Jeff Pollock. It's Jeff with a G. JeffPollock.com is the website. Very easy to find. And he's not just our lawyer, but he's also our friend. He's helped me out in the past with some pretty serious stuff with family. He did our wills. I think he did all of mine. I don't know if he did all of Bob's. Honestly, I don't know if Bob went back, but that's speculation for another day. Also, just a really good guy. And at some point in your life, you're going to need legal help. Best case scenario, you need minimal amount of legal help. And if that's the case, Jeff Pollock is perfect. If you need maximum amount, well, I feel sorry for you, but it's just one of the realities of life because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if there is going to be an accident, something with insurance. You don't know about family members, someone having to go into a home, dealing with wills, trusts. There are a lot of different reasons why you may not know you need a lawyer, but you're going to need one. So again, jeffpollock.com is where you go to. Bob, what kind of sauce? Fill us in on the pasta before we talk about the NHL.
I did a spaghetti, and then I made a homemade tomato sauce with Italian sausage, hot Italian sausage. Put a little asparagus in there because I like the texture, and I'm a bit of a contrarian. Olive, mushroom, onion, garlic. And one thing you're not going to need, you're not going to need to sue me for this sauce. So, Jeff, you're going to be on the sidelines for that particular case. Okay. So, Father's Day, we find out that Brady Tkachuk, pretty unsurprisingly, winds up dealt from the Ottawa Senators. Seemed like he was all but out, regardless of whatever he said at the end of the year meetings that he had, the press conference. A little bit of a surprise that he went to Florida to be reunited with his brother, Matthew. And I think a lot of talk, God, this is a really, really, like, there's a lot going on in this story. So again, I'll just throw it out to you, Matt. You've had a chance to talk about this on the air for a couple of days now. Where have you landed on this?
So small picture, I feel bad for Ottawa. They did nothing wrong. They've been developing a team. They made it back to the playoffs for the first time in 7 years. They, you know, took the swing and signed the goalie in Linus Allmark. They've got some great young talented defensemen. They got Tim Stützle. Like, this is a team on the rise. But Brady didn't want to be there because he didn't like the attention. I always love this with hockey players. They are the toughest, bravest people on the ice. But he didn't like getting booed because of the White House, because winning gold for the Olympics, even though that was all going to end very soon. But the booing he didn't like. And on top of that, he doesn't like having to talk to the media. But now he gets to go to Florida, where no one's going to give a shit about him, because less than a day later, Giannis Antetokounmpo was traded there. And he gets to go to be the fourth or fifth best player. So for him, he took the easy way out. He forced Ottawa to trade him. And this is one of the new phases of NHL player empowerment. And it does speak to, there's bigger picture issues, but Florida's second line got really good. And Ottawa is definitely taking a step back, and they've got to get lucky with draft picks.
And the amazing thing is there's all kinds of talk that if Bobrovsky goes because they can't afford him, that maybe Connor Hellebuck winds up in Florida, creating some kind of American gold medal super team. We just finished talking about how the Heat weren't really a super team. The real super team is the top nine of the Florida Panthers. They're pretty good, pretty good.
Barkov looked so good in the World Hockey Championships. The moment he did that, you're like, oh, shit, remember that guy. Florida nearly made the playoffs with no Barkov, with all these other injuries. Like, they, to me, should be considered the favorite. I know we got to find out who is in net, and there are some players that are older, but that is they're bringing almost everyone back. And if you've got a second line with the two Tkachuks and Sam Bennett and the first line with Barkov and Carter Verhaeghe, I mean, there's so much Anton Lundell, like, on the third line. That is just, like, from a pure hockey standpoint, that is a stacked team. And if you're Buffalo and Ottawa and Montreal and y'all had nice seasons, just know next year's going to get tougher. And the Maple Leafs, last year's blip, it's going to be harder to get back to the postseason.
Sasha Barkov is so good that he might be the most underrated player in the NHL, and everybody already thinks he's great. The idea that Florida is now going to kick open the doors of the saloon, like in a Western, and walk in with the black hat and let everybody know they want a whiskey at the bar and they're not paying, that is true. That is going to happen.
And that's great.
We'll get to this in just a second. If the goaltending doesn't get resolved, you know, they could be a bit of a chaos agent. You know, score five, let in six. We'll see. We'll see. I don't think that's going to happen, though. You checked a lot of boxes in your overview. I kind of want to start with this idea of player empowerment, because I've noticed most of the people in hockey, this is sort of the hierarchy of what they would prefer to talk about. They'd prefer to talk about player empowerment and no trade, no move clauses. Under that, the lingering politics of Americans don't want to play in Canada, they're a little less comfortable with that. And then the third rail, which almost nobody has discussed, and we will absolutely fucking get there. But let's start off with this idea of no movement clauses and player empowerment. And how many times have you heard the we're just entering a new phase of the game over the last 48 hours?
It's the number one topic. It's everyone in the NHL. What the NBA woke up the day after LeBron made the decision to go and take his talents to South Beach, that kicked off player empowerment to a whole other level. And now we're seeing this in the NHL. And it's been coming for the last little while. And Dylan Larkin saying, I only want to play on three teams, like Florida or Minnesota or Carolina or Vegas. I forget which are the exact three, but they're all teams that A, not a lot of media attention, and B, excellent teams can win it all. But that was his list. What I'm noticing, Bob, is here's the trend. Quinn Hughes doesn't want to be in Canada, only wants to be in American market. Brady Tkachuk, pretty much the same case. Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk. They left a team with Daryl Sutter, who won the Jack Adams, with Jacob Markstrom, who was a Vezina-level goalie, for a team that had 110, 112 points and had a bunch of other talented players, but they left. One went to Columbus, and one went to a Florida team that had one playoff series win since 1996. Maybe each case is you can explain it off, but there was a trend of guys. Talented players, mostly American, wanting to leave Canada, and then other players, talented players who just want to run and hide. They don't want to grow the game. They'll take a puck to the sternum. They'll take a stick to the eye, but they won't take Jonas Siegel and Mark Masters.
Well, there's two issues there, and let's split these up. So I think there are lots of Americans who come to Canada, and the scrutiny in Canada is greater than in any other American market. Even the really popular markets, if you're a Pittsburgh Penguin, where, hockey is popular, Philadelphia Flyer, hockey is very popular in Philadelphia. Buffalo Sabres, great ratings on ESPN. That market loves its hockey, but they all have the NFL. And that's it. It's just the gigantic black hole of attention. You put the NFL in a market with a hockey team, they can't even put home dates against the NFL. If you ever notice, all those American teams have an awful lot of home dates after February. And you know why that is? Because NFL season is over and sports fans will go back to paying attention to what's happening on the ice. So, yeah, I think they're just not used to it. And for whatever reason, God only knows, they don't seem to like it. That's also true of Canadian kids. Like, there's just something about hockey players.
Yes.
Most of them don't like the attention.
And because of that, before we never really thought about it. And when there was the flat cap and COVID, it wasn't an issue. But the cap is going up, 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 and there's going to be more player movement, more player empowerment. And one of the downsides is if you are a small market team that you can't golf year round in, if you are a Canadian team, you are now at a disadvantage. I'm not saying it's the number one disadvantage. Players still want to go where they feel they can win. But in a sport where winning is in such small margins, these issues get bigger and bigger. It is harder to be a GM of a Canadian team than it is in hockey, than it is for any of the 25 American ones.
Okay, so Brady goes to Florida, which is a good team, and he has a chance to win there. It's also a market where they don't have taxes. So there's just no two ways around it. If you get paid $12 million US in Florida and $12 million in Quebec, which has the highest provincial tax of any team that gets taxed, the Habs do, you make more money in Florida. That's it. And I guess the argument has always been in Canada, there's ancillary money that you can make. You're more of a star. You can get bigger sponsorship deals, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, bullshit. We went through all of this with the Raptors. Guys didn't want to come up here because they felt like they were going to NBA Siberia. Even though this is the fourth largest market in North America, and as we saw with Vince Carter, you could be a national figure. As we saw with Jose Bautista, you could be a national figure. But these guys just think, look, I don't know what that place is. I don't get it. I don't want to go there. They can go to Florida. They can go to Texas and not make any taxes. I think it's interesting that there isn't a mass exodus to California, even though that was the hottest market going. There isn't a mass exodus to New York City, The mass exodus is to the places where you don't have to pay taxes. I don't know if there's anything you can do about it.
What bothers me is I always like meritocracy when it comes to team building. When the Lakers won the title in 2020 with LeBron, LeBron didn't go there because that was a well-run organization. It was because it was close to tech and Hollywood and the Pacific Ocean. That's why he went there. If the Los Angeles Lakers were in Bismarck, North Dakota, LeBron never goes there. And that, to me, is the big concern. Hey, how do you get an advantage? Well, we have the taxes. And also, you said about, hey, players, come to Toronto. You could get more endorsement deals. Players don't want endorsement deals. Endorsement deals requires time and attention and a willingness to be a celebrity. That doesn't exist in that sport.
You know what they want? They want some kind of barter deal for tee times.
Yeah.
Just give them a really great golf course membership and let them know they have unlimited shotgun starts. They're happy. Okay, so let's pivot this for a second. So Brady doesn't want to be in Ottawa. Part of it is he didn't like being booed after the Olympics and the attention started to get hot for him. And there were a lot of reports that said he just wasn't the same guy after the Olympics. You know, credit to both you and I. We wondered if there was going to be a 2008 Dream Team effect with this American gold medal team. And there clearly has been. There clearly has been. These guys obviously talked. These guys obviously liked hanging out and being part of American hockey. And they were like, fuck Canada. That is definitely part of it. Clearly. And it was funny. I was listening to 32 Thoughts for the first time since Merrick wasn't on it. Because I wanted to see how those guys handled this topic. And Elliot was like, okay, I'm going to go there. But let's be honest, some of these guys didn't like the way they were being booed. And he was so terrified, obviously, of trying to create an impression like American players don't want to play here. Hey, guys, guess what? American players don't want to play here. That's now the reality of what hockey has to face.
And the difference is with the Raptors, it's harder for them to build a team. That's why their championship deserves even a little more credit because it's harder to do it here. But the difference is there are 29 American teams and one Canadian. In hockey, it's seven professional teams and they have a bigger impact. Like another thing of all this is, hey, Americans, part of the reason your salaries are where they are is because of the Canadian markets that are helping to, you know, the TV money, the ad revenue. A lot of it comes from the seven teams, but the American players, and part of me, I get it. They're not built like basketball players. They don't get it. They must have been confused by the Knicks winning. They must have been, oh, they must have stunk. Look at all the attention they're getting. Oh, look at Carolina. They won a title. They'll have a modest parade. And then they can make a 4 p.m. tee time and, you know, be able to get to the 19th hole. You know, it's a very different culture.
What really struck me about this story was how anachronistic it was. And I can speak to this and so can you, because when we were on Off the Record, that show started in 1997. And in the late 90s and early 2000s, the idea that a Canadian-born player playing for a Canadian team would want to leave Canada and go to an American team was a big fucking deal. Aginla, Fleury, you name it. Like, seriously. And it was not... It was straight up nationalism. It was like, how can a Canadian leave Canada to go and play to a place where hockey doesn't even matter? And I haven't heard that conversation realistically in the last 15 years. And it felt so real this weekend. Again, it was like, oh, this is about nationalism again.
Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lot of Canadian players, as you said, that would rather just run and hide, play in the States. They don't want the attention. You don't get this in any other sports. You get this strictly in hockey. And this is a big deal if you are a fan of a Canadian team. Also, another thing, because the American hockey system is so much better than when Off the Record started, because there are so many more star American players, that's the bigger impact. In 1998, it's like, oh no, the seven good Americans don't want to be here. It doesn't matter. Now, that matters a lot more.
This is 100% true, and you absolutely nailed it. I don't know what the numbers are of Americans percentage-wise in the NHL in 1999. I do know that Mike Modano was something of a unicorn because he was a really great player, and he was American. I think he might have been the first American-born to win the Hart Trophy, but regardless, 30% of the league now is American. And the uptick in terms of quality through that US developmental system, star after star after star, like there is nothing exceptional today about an American-born star. It is becoming the norm. They just won at the Olympics. That's not a fluke. They could play that same tournament again this summer. They would probably win again. They're just a damn good team. So here's something interesting I want to throw to you, Matt. And this is the third rail that I feel people don't really want to talk about. I think we're comfortable saying, oh, you know, I think it could be that the Americans don't want to play here because, frankly, it's just facts. Just look around you. But it's not all Americans, is it? In Montreal right now, Lane Hutson signed, Cole Caulfield signed. These guys are Americans. They seem to be happy playing in Montreal. They're a good team. They've got a great culture there that they've built under Gorton and Kent Hughes. So you look at that and go, okay, well, it's not that all Americans don't want to play in Canada. And I think that's true. Now, what's true of Quinn Hughes and Matthew Tkachuk and Brady Tkachuk and Connor Hellebuyck?
Donald Trump.
They're all
Part of
MAGA.
this, part of this is about Donald Trump and
All MAGA. It's
yes.
not that they're Americans, it's that they're Amagicans. And they're the guys who don't want to play in Canada. And the idea that they came back here as villains after standing up there and gloating, it wasn't the fact that they won the gold medal. Everybody knows that. And nobody's mad at Jake Sanderson. Jake Sanderson was at the White House as part of the team, but he wasn't gloating. He wasn't standing up there and being a representative of MAGA. All of those guys have been very vocal about their support of Donald Trump. And frankly, Florida is MAGA Central. And I don't mean that just in terms of the populace. I mean the Panthers, the ownership there, big sponsors of Donald Trump. What you have here, and this is the third rail that nobody wants to talk about, is that in America, it is a largely suburban, largely white community that gets into hockey. And this is just simply demographics. What is fundamentally the power base of MAGA? Wealthy white suburbans in
And
America.
because
It is increasingly a community that is fostered in an environment which is increasingly MAGA.
the barrier of entry in hockey is getting harder and harder. You can't be poor. Someone brought this up. One reason why a lot of hockey players don't want the attention, and we're going to get back to MAGA, I'm going to circle back to that, is because they came from more money, they were a little bit more sheltered, so all this attention and scrutiny is something they're not as used to. And again, we're not saying this is about all of them, but there is absolutely a portion where it is about MAGA. It is about Trump. And you're right. It is suburban. It is much more Caucasian. It's much more middle class and upper middle class. And of that demographic, you're going to have a higher amount that are going to vote Republican and are going to vote Trump and are going to be pro-Trump and pro-MAGA. And a lot of them are going to believe, yeah, Canada should be the 51st state. And why are you booing our nation? Well, who cares if we put tariffs on you? Don't boo on America.
So I looked into this, and there was a report that came out earlier this year. And of the 30% of the NHLers who were from America, just take that slice, 44% of them were registered Republicans. 9% of them, no, sorry, 17% of them were Democrats, and then there was the independents. So you've already got basically half of the NHLers are registered Republicans who are Donald Trump voters. I'm not sure how the ownership plays out. I'm willing to guess there's a few Trump supporters in there. So here's what I would say, and this is what people are less comfortable talking about. If you're a Canadian team, you don't have an American problem. You have a MAGA problem.
I threw it on Twitter, and mine was just an American thing, only because there's only so many characters, because I think the Trump part of it is part of this. Again, it's not the main part, but it's absolutely a part of the story.
Is the
Is
main.
that, was
It
that?
is. It is the main part. That's my argument.
Oh, no, I think the main reason why play, I think the main thing for a player as a free agent is they want to go somewhere where they can win. I think if we're looking, I think that is still the first one. I think that nationalism, fear of the media, fear of fans, wanting to be left alone, Trump, taxes, I think those are all part of it. And I think those parts are getting more, are becoming bigger and bigger. I hope Lane Hutson and Cole Caulfield want to stay there. What if in a couple of years from now, the team starts losing again, they get booed and they don't like all the microphones. And then they see some of their American buddies playing in Utah and like, oh, I can ply my trade and I don't have the same level of scrutiny. I don't have the same level of stakes or pressure.
People probably don't remember this, but when Tim Leitwicki was hired to run MLSE, there was a lot of discussion, Why are you hiring someone who's not Canadian to run this? So it could very well be that the American thing would come up with Cole and Lane and in Montreal if that were the case. I'm not saying that that's not the case. Let me say why I think the biggest thing is the Trump thing.
Yeah.
Notice how many times the Minnesota Wild have wound up on people's no trade lists or wound up the exception to the no trade.
Whole lot.
Quinn Hughes is there. Bill Guerin is there. Bill Guerin is pretty darn conservative. I find it pretty weird that Minnesota, who have never won anything, who are further north than, geographically than Toronto is, and is something of a hinterland. How did that team get so popular so fast with all these American players? That's a bit surprising, isn't it? Now, I do think these guys want to play together, but why do they want to play together?
It's funny. I'd only start thinking about the Trump thing a little bit more the other day ago, or a couple of days ago, when I had someone who covers Ottawa, who mentioned Trump, and that was something that had been talked about. I hadn't made the connection at all with the Minnesota Wild.
I tweeted, I think it was the last tweet I sent before I like just got rid of all my Twitter presence. But if Austin Matthews goes to the White House and celebrates and looks like he's really backing Trump, don't come back. Have someone send for your stuff. Just do not come back. You are never welcome here again. And that sounds like petty, except when you think it's not just the 51st state stuff, it's tariffs have caused all kinds of problems for our economy. The Iran war has caused all kinds of problems for people who are just trying to buy gas. Now, that's the fuckery that usually goes on with war, but we are being targeted economically, specifically and directly, with the intention of weakening our economy so that they can maximize their deal. This is supposed to be our greatest allies. And I think what we all realized and why Carney swept to power was that you can't lay back on this. This is not a neutral force. This is an antagonistic force. Well, if they're an antagonistic force and you have athletes who represent them politically, vocally, actively, and happily, then how are they supposed to play here and be the representatives of our community when their own personal politics suggest that they would love for those communities to go fuck themselves?
My pushback is that are you giving someone like Matthews too much credit that he understands the geopolitical ramifications of him celebrating at the White House? And he could point to, hey, the Knicks are going to be going there, but part of that's because of James Dolan. That would be my only pushback there, Bob, is that are they smart enough to understand the symbolism of what's going on?
I think Matthews is a smart guy, and I think if he didn't even think of it himself, someone told him and he got it. Yeah, I think in his case, he probably didn't go because there was the last second reroute to join the team in Florida, if you remember. And I think someone told him, if you go and you have a little bit too fun, you're going to have a lot of explaining to do. And I think the perfect example of that is Brady Tkachuk, who went there and had the best time ever. He was hockey Rob Gronkowski. God, that guy was having a good time, and he was never welcome in Ottawa again. And I support Ottawa for that.
I think he would have been welcome. He just had to take some booze.
Never. He never would have been welcome again. And he's the captain. You can't have the captain of your community representing an ideology that is against your community.
I think, I don't know, Bob. I think if he scored a hat trick in his first game back or the first game of next season and gone to a fight, everyone would have loved him. If he said, I'm committed to bring a championship here, I think the majority of sports fans would have been okay with what he does in his private time.
Not this time, Matt. Not this time. This one digs too deep for the Canadian psyche. This is not just some random thing. Mark Carney had the single greatest political rejuvenation of, like, the Liberals were dead. They were talking about whether or not they would even have party status. And then Trump stuff happens. People decide that the Conservatives are not the best party to represent Canada in that. And Carney comes out like nobody even knew him. And he won what was essentially a majority. Almost a majority. It's become since. The point sort of being, that's how passionate and freaked out people are about this. I think you're underestimating it. I think that Tkachuk was right to get the hell out of town because town was never going to be his town ever again.
I think you're overestimating. You think I'm underestimating. How do we take all this and this serious topic and find a way to do the clever close in the next minute 45 seconds?
Well, I'm going to go eat my pasta.
Yeah.
That's I'm excited that Canada is going to go through to the round of 32. Look, I'm glad we had a chance to talk about this because I've been thinking a lot about it. In fact, if you remember a couple episodes ago, I even said if hockey was smart, they would lean into MAGA because they're basically a right-wing sport now. And what I didn't realize was just sort of how far along that already was the case. It's weird for us as Canadians because we think that hockey represents our ideals. I'm not sure that's true moving forward.
And for me, if I'm a GM, I'm just nervous about drafting an American because I think they're going to want to flee because they don't like the microphones in their face. They just want to disappear and make sure they have their shotguns before they get on their shotgun start. Goodbye, Bob.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.